This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. AVIXA, the trade association for the pro AV industry, has started doing a weekly impact survey with members in North America and internationally as a way of understanding how hard the pandemic is hitting business and the collective point of view on what is happening and will happen. As you might imagine, things don't look so hot. Sales are down and revenues with them. Jobs are being furloughed or ended, and even businesses that would in theory be rocking, like video conferencing for telework, are struggling with supply chain issues. But it's not all doom and gloom, and even in rough times, good things can happen. Sean Wargo, AVIXA's Senior Director of Market Intelligence, runs the impact surveys. He was kind enough to take some time the other day to walk through what he's hearing and also what AVIXA is doing with and for its members. Sean, thanks for joining me. Can you tell me what your role is at AVIXA?
Sure. I'm the Senior Director of Market Intelligence here at AVIXA, running all of our research efforts, industry sizing, et cetera.
Okay. You guys have been putting out something called the Impact Survey. Can you tell me what that is?
Absolutely. So a few weeks back, when we were all waking up to the new reality of travel restrictions and stay-at-home orders, et cetera, related to COVID-19, we decided that we wanted to provide our members an opportunity to share their experiences, their perspectives, and just help everyone realize in this time of social distancing that you're not alone. So we really wanted to start a survey, measure impacts, share that back out as a way of saying, look, others are in similar circumstance, and here's how they're adapting. Here's how they're responding. So we do that every week. It's about 300 responses we get back from a mix of international folks, live events, providers, end users, et cetera. So think of it kind of as a pulse on industry impacts related to pandemic and all of its responses, state by state, country by country.
Okay. Is it entirely new, or were you doing something similar pre-COVID-19?
It's fairly new in the sense that it's focused. We always do month-to-month an AV business index, and that's essentially review, you know, how were your sales in the last month versus the month prior? How was your employment, your hiring going over the last month as kind of a steady gauge of are we in a growth environment or are we facing declines as an industry? So we've had that one ongoing, but this one we wanted to get a little bit more targeted response and increase its frequency to a full weekly instead of a monthly. So it is new in that regard.
And what's the value of that to your membership?
You know, it helps with planning and uncertainty management in these situations, particularly this one, perhaps. We don't have a lot of good data. We don't know what's going on out there. We don't know long term what the outlook is. So we're hoping to provide, of course, that voice of you're not alone. These are responses. If you're a manufacturer selling into this channel, this is what the provider community is experiencing. So you can get a sense for the demand that might be coming for products that you're selling into the channel. Helps for forecasting. Helps you look for prognosis. When are things expected to get better? And then which areas are we seeing maintain their resiliency through the period? So it's all those things. It's planning, it's forecasting, et cetera, and just honestly, community sharing mm-hmm. as we go through.
And I would imagine the cadence of this is important because the shifting sands on this are incredible in terms of, a week ago, there were, 40,000 cases in the U.S. And what is it now, 160 or something?
Yeah, I think we're closing in on 200,000. Good Lord. You're right. And even more pronounced is the response, you know, day to day. So I was on a business trip, actually, the week that the international travel restrictions, I was international, that broke. And you have to respond really quick. So, and that's still kind of happening, you know, especially if you're a company, a provider who's providing services across state boundaries, the different state environments are shifting. So we originally thought, let's do this every other week, make it a 2-week. But then we realized, things are evolving so fast. Let's get on a weekly cadence with it. We'll have new data. We'll be able to track sort of the response and maybe see the inflection point of when things start to be a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And bring it in a little bit, give people some more hope, some more information on a real-time basis or close
to
it.
So I saw a summary of what's the most recent one that's going to be pushed out. And it seems like over the space of 3 releases of this survey, your respondents have progressively got into the state of, oh shit, this is getting bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's natural. I mean, their clarity their focus is sharper as they go through. So they're better able to gauge the results. So yes, you're seeing higher percentages that are saying, yep, my sales are slowing down. Makes sense. Not able to meet in face-to-face to do project scoping and close deals. Next step, revenue reduction. So the percents on each of those for providers has gone up week to week mm-hmm. to week. What's held steady-ish over the last 2 weeks is the reduction in staff, 30%. Not great, but still a part of that response mechanism. And I have to say, this is why we started out with just this more, how is it negatively impacting you? We started to shift even our data collection to, okay, let's start looking forward. What are you seeing? But it's real. And so, yeah, the reality of business impacts has become clearer and clearer the longer we're in this sort of economic shutdown thing. Mm-hmm.
So in terms of findings, you were hearing that your respondents are seeing significant drops in revenue.
We heard 67% said that they were seeing some kind of revenue reduction. When we look at the hard numbers on it each week, they've gotten a little bit better about telling us how much. You know, you started with a high don't know, and that got better, still around 18%. When you look below that, so those that actually know what's going on, the highest percentage, unfortunately, were saying more than 50%. So 29% this week saying more than 50. Last week, it was 23%. You do an average on that of all the responses, you're looking at revenue declines of 25 to 30% for our providers. That hurts. And certainly, that's definitely impacting their viability in the short term as they wait for demand to return. Some sectors, live events, even worse. You know, you would expect mm-hmm. that's a high percent, no business. So virtually all of them are saying it's greater than 50%. It's probably, 100%. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're doing live events, concerts, Broadway, anything, like it's just off, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that's on hold. And so until we're practicing less social distancing, until we're allowed to and able to return to the activity, then they are on hold as well. Yeah, that's the reality for them. Hard reality for them.
What happens, and I don't know if this reflected this in your surveys, but if you've had orders that have come in with deposits, projects that were supposed to get going, are you, as a supplier, are you on the hook to return that money or?
You know, it probably varies greatly. So in some cases, these projects are in vertical markets, et cetera, where they're able to still go into the office and do that work. So some of them are able to continue project work, government, higher ed is closed, but some of the providers still have access to space. Some are delayed. So we do see some of that happening where they're pushing it off out to a future date. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are probably some whose contracts say, we're in such a hardship. Let's say your customer is a hotelier, in the hospitality business, you know, they're so unsure of when revenues might return. Those projects may be indefinite, indefinitely on hold. So I think it's gonna be a mixed bag. 57% of our providers said their projects were outright canceled. So within that, you're probably seeing percentage of scope that is, you know, they have to return that money. Some of it is work that's already been done so they can bill for it. In the end, though, that's what drives that reduced revenue number. You know, that's going to be a big part of the story there is those cancellations, the cost backs, the returns, all those sorts of things are part of the mix.
I mean, I have my own business, but I'm fortunate that I don't have headcount and, you know, mouths to feed other than my own and my family's, but I can't imagine if you're running an integration shop or you're a manufacturer that you're really set up for like 25% sales drops or certainly 50% sales drops.
Yeah. And you're going to see, we are seeing sort of a commensurate or close to commensurate reduction in staff as a result. You know, some of the integrators work off of contract labor. And so it's not so much a reduction in staff or layoff. It's cancellation of a contract for them too. But we are seeing 17 to 20% reduction in staff on average among the providers. Some of them are still kind of unsure what that's going to look like. They're kind of on hold, but we're all hearing stories about either layoffs, furloughs, reduction in salaries for management, all that being considered. Around a third are looking at these staff reduction types of realities right now. But, you know, and it's a tough decision because on the other hand, what greater time to retool your staff, get them up, take advantage of free education offerings from us and others and work on CTS, whatever it might be, to be ready with core staff once things are relieved and demand returns. So tough call. Don't envy those decisions.
And this survey I saw seemed to suggest that a lot of people within the ecosystem are looking at June as when things start to come back, but others are saying September.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I appreciate in a lot of ways, we ultimately, none of us knows for sure, right? When things might be returning to normal. But I think based upon all the information that we have, that our providers have across our countries, and actually it was pretty consistent North America versus international even. Yeah, the predominant response was about a June expectation, about half of which said sometime before June. So May, June was the largest percent. But there are many, 20 to 25%, depending on who you look at, who just said, I don't know, or, you know, we're answering farther out. Live events, the highest percent there was September. They were looking more September. That kind of makes sense. Just give the window, the time frame to spool up and plan for an event. Projects that were canceled, were put on hold, certainly can come back in nearer term. But an optimistic view, I would say, but certainly a good one and makes sense given what we know.
Yeah, I'm definitely not in the insurance business. I have a son who is, but I can't imagine you could put on a concert in a football stadium for 60,000 people and not have some liability concerns there if you pack all those people in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll show a show, events, concert, all the organizers. That's why you're seeing conservatism in canceling, because it is even if it's a liability for sure, but it's also just the human element. You know, I think we're all trying to be empathetic and consider the impacts to others as we plan out and social distance. So,
I was intrigued by reading that there are issues even for companies that are in theory going to do well out of this because of supply chain problems. So, you know, everybody's working, I shouldn't say everybody, but a hell of a lot of people are working at home now. And you would think people who do video conferencing, unified communications and so on would just be rocking right now, but they can't get cameras. They can't get monitors.
Mm-hmm. We did see a slight uptick in some of the supply chain disruptions. That went up to 42%. So we topped 40, as noted in the article that I'll be dropping this week. And it's interesting because we, as forecasters, as watching the industry and talking to experts, there was early supply chain disruption from China, of course, as they shut down display factories and other sorts of things that came back online. But there are some categories, as you know, that are still having challenges. So that will be out there. I'd say the bigger problem for us is, of course, demand overall. But I think that'll be a reality as it works its way through. As an example, even for those on the front lines of the virus, getting face masks. Well, there's a factory in northern Italy that produces a lot of them. And they're closed. So there's going to be regional disruptions and specific disruptions related to certain components or products that are harder to source as those areas are impacted.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Did you hear from companies who were saying, okay, we need to pivot? And I think of folks like Gary Kay who have been telling AV systems integrators forever, guys, you need to jump on digital signage. This is the future and so on. And now this has happened. And you would think that systems integrators who are maybe angling that way are now looking back at offices and home offices and video conferencing and the meat and potatoes work that they did for many years. And others who are saying, okay, we need to get into that.
Yeah, it's a good time, certainly, to be evaluating those sorts of things. There's, of course, danger to overreacting since mm-hmm. we're still in the middle of the disruption. So knowing exactly where it'll land is a bit hard to tell. Right now, sure. When we ask as well, we hear conference and collaboration, within six months and outside of 6 months. It's a hot area, but it was the hot area before too. We too were talking digital signage. It's probably a little bit more put on hold as consumers are stay at home. But that demand returns. And so some of the fundamentals still hold. The things that industry experts, Gary Kay, others, we can't forget that there was things driving those long-term trends. And so we kind of expect that to continue happening. And so it doesn't mean you abandon your digital signage business altogether because they're not doing installations right now or they're put on hold. Likewise, you don't go all in just conference and collaboration. Because we will go back to work in office spaces to some extent in the future. So where I actually point the most is honestly, I think this being remote elevates that importance around managed services. So, you know, the idea of being able to stay engaged with a customer through these disruptions, help them monitor systems, analyze data, do a whole bunch of different things. So it's kind of pushing the importance or renewing the need to take a hard look at what can I do from a remote managed service offering perspective and maybe adapt and expand capabilities in that direction. I think there's been some noise and discussion about that for a long time, and I'm hearing it ratchet up a bit as we look at this situation.
One thing that's mentioned in here is how, because of the virus, companies are not able to have in-person meetings with their customers mm-hmm. to do demos and things like that. So how are they adjusting?
You know, like everyone, I think it's pushing virtual. So figuring out how you get that dedicated attention from somebody online. If anything, I've seen my meeting volume increase now that we can bounce from call to call. But it's different for purveyors of solutions because they do need to be able to demonstrate. And some of that is a hands-on experience. Even trade show, you know, how do you replicate something like the trade show in-person experience, walking the floor and seeing the products and trying the products in a more virtual. So we're going to be challenged to figure out how to do that. The technologies are there to do some of it. At least we can collaborate on Teams, Zoom, other sorts of conferencing call technologies and see each other. We're getting more comfortable in this situation with video conferencing types of interaction. But it will be a particular challenge for a solution provider who's used to having undivided attention face-to-face. You can read body language more. You can show them the product. We'll have to figure that out. And, you know, something we won't be able to adapt in 2 weeks, certainly as we think forward, we're going to have to figure out ways of doing that for sure.
It's going to be a challenge for salespeople as well. You mentioned that commission checks for sales are going to be reduced, and there's going to be this knock-on effect down the road that you have guys who are used to getting, you know, certain compensation every month, and that's going to go away for some time.
That's just the hardest part of that to me too. You know, as we think of longer lasting economic impacts, it's the unemployment side that results. The hope is certainly that as you return to demand and projects kick back in, we employ again, that gets alleviated. But there's the real human cost of that slumping period and not being able to afford lifestyle, you know, rents, mortgages, all those sorts of things. Governments are trying to step in, and we certainly applaud that. But it's going to cost us all for quite some time. Everyone's thinking this is more of a V-shaped recession if there is a full-on recession of 2 quarters of back-to-back declines in GDP. That seems probable, at the very least a single quarter, but more V-shaped instead of U-shaped. Everybody, economists will tell you, things looked great before this. It was good fundamentals. But there's some debt realities too, underlying, and so that's where there are challenges. So honestly, the only thing I can say about that is it elevates for me the importance of this social distancing experiment. Let's call it an experiment, but because it's an effort without better data to just, okay, slow it down, try to minimize the impact from a human casualty perspective, shorten the duration of the economic shutdown so that we can get back as soon as possible. That's the hope. And that's, I guess, all we can do right now is kind of stay in that mode for time being.
Mm-hmm. You're an industry association, you know, thousands of members. Are members, whether they're executives or rank and file, coming to AVIXA saying, I need your help, I need your guidance, what do I do?
For sure. That happens even in best of times. you know, it's there's so many challenges to a business that we get all kinds of things, end of life, you know, succession planning, product mix, whatever it might be. So for sure, that's particularly loud and clear when it's hat in hand, you know, no work. You know, what do I do? AVIXA will be continuing to try new things, you know, offering ideation sessions to be able to brainstorm ideas for collaboration or new projects, job boards, even the research we're doing, giving people a place and a voice to share and discuss. So yes, that escalates. It's always there, and it's who we feel we are anyway, a trade association and a professional society. This is what we do. This is what we live for, is there in these times. So we as staff are trying to be very creative about how we approach it. Leadership is certainly challenging us with that too. So it's good. I mean, this is why we're here.
One of the things that I believe AVIXA has done is opened up a lot of its CTS training credits or courses, so you normally have to pay for them.
That's right. We opened up our catalog for education for free for a period of time to allow people to come in and boost skills. Yeah, I mean, what better thing to do when you have this workforce that's on hold to get them some skills that position you well? So yeah, that was our first response before we started even doing some of this research. Boosting skills and growing your capabilities is the idea.
and the unintended consequences, if I'm remembering correctly from some social media stuff, is it kind of clobbered your servers.
You know, overall, I think we're doing one massive stress test on cloud-based technologies. We've probably all seeing whether or not it's going to hold up. And I'm sure it'll produce some funny stories. But for sure, we're challenged with making sure we can support this rush, this flood of interest in collaboration online.
There's been talk through the years and attempts. Even things that look like Second Life and all that, where there were virtual trade shows. Obviously, Infocom in June is off. It's not even going to be back in the fall. So you've got this gap for a lot of vendors to show their pots and pans. And I'm sure they're working out their own plans. But is it feasible, or does the research show, yeah, that doesn't really work?
You know, I think the easiest part is certainly the conference track. I think we all get that. You can share educational content. You can do seminars, workshops, et cetera, online. And so that would be the obvious low-hanging fruit that we would try to go after. And other events already are part of an inside association where they're taking their summer conference completely online, because most of the benefit is those sessions. The harder part really is the trade show itself, the exhibit floor. The whole economy is based around selling booth space where companies can showcase their products. So that will be the challenge. And I expect innovation in that regard. I haven't seen yet the full solution to that. But I'm sure, and I know it's top of mind for any trade show operator across the globe. We'll see how that adapts. And maybe the reality is it can't entirely, but we can fill in the gap, because we, like you're alluding to, we don't want to lose connection. Our companies, our manufacturers don't want to lose connection to buyer. We don't want to lose connection to our community. So you have to do something. And certainly online meetups and more virtual events are going to be the reality as we go into, you know, Q2, maybe even early Q3. So, I think we'll be innovating, experimenting in that regard too.
I have a friend who talks about compelling moments, and things happen when there are compelling moments. I wonder if this pandemic is, in certain respects, a compelling moment for the industry, in terms of we've been talking about this, whatever this is, for a long time, and now this is kind of forcing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would return to my comments about managed service, remote interactive. Yeah, I think this, to me, is a compelling moment. You are losing connection with a company. If your entire business was focused, revolved around project work, integration, that was scope it, do it, and then maybe check back, you know, later to see, hey, anything changed? Any problems? How we keep recurring revenue, ongoing interaction, even if office systems are down, remote employees and how that's working, and collaborating with experiences with your customer base. This forces us to take a harder look at that, because you. The holy grail is really that sort of recurrence and ongoing. And I think a big key of that is going to be data. We're in a period now where data is king for so many companies, organizations across vertical markets, that, and our systems, our technologies, our experiences that we build out as an industry are data collection points and producers of data. There's a huge opportunity, I think, a defining moment for companies to try to get in front of that. It's a whole new sophistication. That's not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's capabilities, skill sets, and tool sets that have to be, that are involved there. But this is the time, certainly, to take a look. Yeah.
This conversation has been unavoidably gloomy just because of what's going on. I wonder if out of this research, have you found things that are sort of cause for being positive and optimistic?
You know, we pointed to prognosis certainly as one, you know, that this does have end, and our companies see it, and we want to keep echoing that message of this too shall pass, and we return. And I think that's the important thing that keeps us going. Beyond that, we're seeing so much. It's elevating, emphasizing for us the importance of technology in providing us continual interaction experiences, even as we go virtual. And it's creating an opportunity for us to evolve, adapt, get innovative in new ways. And, you know, hardship is the conduit for that kind of the catalyst for that kind of innovation. So that's the positive to me. It's terrible and awful to go through, but we do end up stronger as a result. So to me, that's the positive that we too want to start emphasizing more and more. So expect our research to adapt in that regard. Our questions had been more on the negative. I think we're going to try to evolve even more to the positive. Where's the bright spots? Where's the opportunity?
All right. I think that's a great way to end this. Thank you for your time, and please stay healthy.
You too.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.